Group of Seven summit has now wrapped up in Japan, with leaders pledging more support for Ukraine's war with Russia. So the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and the Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, there they are. They laid wreaths at the Hiroshima Peace Memorial. And Zelensky compared Japan's rebuilding of the city that was devastated by a nuclear bomb to his hopes for war-torn Ukraine. Then there was the U.S. President Joe Biden, who reaffirmed his support for Kyiv, unveiling a $375 million military aid package to bolster Ukraine's defenses. On Saturday, Russia claimed victory in the Ukrainian city of Bakhmut. President Zelensky said his troops are still fighting.
I cannot share with you the tactical views of our military, of our warriors, but as of today, we can see that the country, which is a dozen times bigger than we are, cannot occupy us, cannot win this war. And we understand that a bit more, and then we will be prevailing, and that is why we are acting how we are acting, valuing the lives of people. The hardest is if Bakhmut had some military tactical mistake, for instance, and people could be surrounded. Then all the military know what could happen, how we could create the situation for people not to be captured. Now our people are accomplishing a very simple mission. They are now in Bakhmut. I will not share where exactly, but eyewitnesses say that Bakhmut is not occupied by the Russian Federation as of today.
OK, we have Natasha Butler. There she is. In a moment, we'll bring in Natasha. She's standing by with a reaction from Kyiv. But first, let's bring in Rob McBride, who's joining us from the summit venue in Hiroshima. Well, the summit has now ended, Rob. We heard from several leaders today, including President Biden and President Zelensky. Just give us the highlights and tell us what they had to say.
Yeah, Volodymyr Zelensky leaves this G7 having been able to meet in person, often for the first time, and engage with many more world leaders from countries that have either remained neutral or have quite close links to Russia. There's a long list of countries that have come along to this G7, but quite significant influential countries such as Indonesia, Brazil, India. And of course, he has been able to reconnect with the G7, his big supporters there, which in turn has come out and declaring its unwavering commitment to Ukraine. This was repeated by Fumio Kishida, the host Japanese prime minister, in his closing address, given fittingly in the Hiroshima Memorial Peace Park, which commemorates the atomic attack in 1945, calling out Russia for its aggression against Ukraine and also attacking Russia for its threats to use nuclear weapons, which people here in Japan almost universally regard with absolute abhorrence. Zelensky is very good at connecting with host nations and audiences wherever he is in the world, and as he did again here, saying that he was struck going around the museum to the Hiroshima atomic attack at how the scenes of carnage and devastation he has witnessed in Ukrainian towns and cities, a tortured wasteland, as he put it. But just as Hiroshima has rebuilt, he promised that Ukraine would rebuild, but with the grim caveat that will only come with peace. Peace will only come, he says, after Russia has been defeated on the battlefield.
Okay, Rob, stand by for just a moment, because I'd like to bring in Natasha Butler to just clarify the situation for us in Bakhmut, Natasha, because when Zelensky was speaking at the G7, he said that his troops are still fighting there. The Russians say they've claimed victory. What's going on?
Well, it's a confused picture. It often is the case with Bakhmut, the situation there that has been grinding on, that battle grinding on for so many months. What we have here is claim and counterclaim. On Saturday, the boss of the Wagner Russian mercenary group said that his forces were in full control of Bakhmut. Well, that was quickly refuted by authorities here in Kyiv. We then heard there the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky saying that Ukrainian troops are still in Bakhmut. Well, we have had some updates from Ukraine's military. The commander of Ukraine's ground forces, Oleksandr Sirsky, he says that the situation on the ground is difficult, but it is under control. He says Ukrainian forces do control a very small part of the city, but enough, he says, to allow those forces to enter the city if they would need to. Rather cryptically, he said that the situation could could probably change. He also said that Ukrainian forces had made some gains on the flanks, on the suburbs of Bakhmut. So that's the picture from the commander of Ukraine's military forces on the ground. But as I said, of course, what we do know, the big picture, is this battle has been going on now between Russian and Ukrainian forces for 10 months, many lives lost on both sides.
Okay, thank you, Natasha. We'll let you go for now. That's our Natasha Butler reporting for us from Kyiv. We'll once again cross over to Hiroshima in Japan. Rob McBride is there. Because, Rob, the other big item on the agenda, of course, was China. So tell us what happened there.
Yeah, this G7 has seen the G7 come together in a united front against China. We heard in Joe Biden, the U.S. president, his closing speech and press conference, saying he doesn't want to decouple from China. That would simply be impossible to do. The West, the G7 and China need to engage on things like the global economy and on shared interests like tackling climate change. But what he stressed was he wanted the G7 to de-risk from China. By that, he means the U.S. and its allies, protecting things like strategically sensitive supply chains in things like advanced semiconductor production, which he says China has misused in the past in things like weapons production. Well, he says that the G7 will take a stand against that. And in their communique, they outline a whole host of alleged malign behavior by China in when it comes to the global economy and conducting what they call economic coercion, military expansionism, threats to Taiwan, also a lack of transparency in the development of its nuclear arsenal, saying that just as the G7 is united in support of Ukraine, so they have never been more united when it comes to taking a stand against China. China, for its part, very quickly has hit back, calling the G7 a small group, which itself is a threat to peace and stability. So a lot from this G7 to annoy and irk both China and Russia.
Thank you, Rob McBride, reporting for us from Hiroshima, Japan. So as